So we're live, but it's also a dry run because we haven't had a chance to practice this before. So welcome everybody who is watching online. We're glad you're with us. This is a strange time for our country, strange time for our church, strange time for all churches who are going through this difficult time. So our current crisis with the coronavirus is kind of becoming a panic, right? The mainstream media is really blowing it way out of proportion, I think, in many, many ways. And so for us, I decided, you know, we need to just step back and pause just a little bit and to take a break from the Gospels and turn to the Psalms. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 62, because this is a passage of Scripture that really talks about making God our fortress, our rock. He is our only hope. The word only in this passage of Scripture comes up six times. Alone, 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 God alone, God only, God alone, alone. And so that is really the theme of this chapter in the Psalms. God alone is our strength and our hope. So I'm going to look at a Psalm 62 today to give us all great assurance, great rest, great peace, that God is in charge, God is sovereign. We can't put our hope anywhere else but in the Lord. So work with me as we go through Psalm 62 together. Here's be the main point in the time of great crisis, which our country is in right now. Supernatural, amazing peace comes from trusting in God and in God alone. So David's life is hanging by a thread. David is on the run. David has been chased by Saul. We don't know which incident this is in Psalm 62. We don't really know. It could be that it was the time when Saul threw a spear at David, missed him by a couple of inches. It could be the time that Saul sent assassins to David's home. We don't know what that situation is, but most likely it was when Absalom was staging a coup and was trying to overthrow his dad and take his place on the throne. And David was on the run. So that's the context. I believe one of those things is the context for Psalm 62. David's life is in danger. His life is hanging by a thread. So none of us face those kind of dangers today, but we can apply everything he says to our situation in life right now. When people are starting to panic and buy silly things at Costco, get in fights sometimes at Costco. I can't believe it. You know what I want to say about that is they better not be believers. They just better not be Christians who are getting in fights over toilet paper. That's just unacceptable. And so probably we can guarantee that none of them know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because peace should reign and rule within our hearts. So point number one, in the most absolute sense possible, in the most absolute sense, we need to trust God and nothing else for our protection. Take a look at Psalm 62 and the first stanza there. It says, for God alone, that's the key word, alone, 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 only, only, only. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. If you don't mind marking up your paper Bibles, you can circle silence. That's a huge, huge word. My soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock. He alone is my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. So at the beginning of this psalm, David's a little bit kind of worried a little bit. His life is in danger, and so he says, I'm not going to be greatly shaken. Might be a little bit shaken, but not greatly shaken. So he's reminding himself, God alone is my fortress, my rock, my salvation. But when he says, my soul waits in silence, what is he saying? He's saying this, I'm not objecting. I'm not protesting. I'm not complaining. I'm saying, God, why are you doing this to me? I'm quiet before God. And boy, that's a spirit of humility and submission. Just silence your lips. Don't complain. Don't protest. Don't get upset with God. Just wait to find out what in the world God is doing through that current situation in his life, and we can apply it to our life as well. Just relax. Tell your soul to calm down and be silent. So, what do we trust in our current crisis in America today? Well, man, people are trusting in all kinds of silly things, but really, many are putting their trust in President Trump and his team of advisors, the CDC, Vice President Pence, and the committee that they're working on together. That's something that people are trusting in. They're going to figure this out. They're going to solve the issue. They're going to solve the problem. Some are trusting in drug companies to come up with a cure, you know, to protect you from this crazy virus that's going around. And some are trusting in social distancing. Patty was reminding me the other day, this woman at the grocery store, it's kind of a silly situation. Grocery store gal was telling the young man, the clerk there at the cash register, you touched your face. Oh no, go wash your hands. Go wash your face. But yes, she's punching the dials on the keypad without any sanitizer at all. Yeah, that's right. Let's just see how many germs we can share together. So trusting in social distancing. We trust our doctors to make the best decisions, best treatments. Why? Well, certainly it's okay to take precautions, no doubt about it. And pray for wisdom, smart thing to do, but don't trust those things. Don't. That's what this psalm is all about. Don't trust anything but God and God alone. You know, if you go to bed at night and think, I'm trusting in these things, there's going to be a cure, they're going to solve this problem, no doubt about it, and I'm going to go to sleep better because I'm trusting those things, and you're not trusting God alone. You're not trusting in God alone. Besides, my biggest point of all would, why would Christians fret? Why would Christians worry? Why? I mean, capitalize that. Why? With a big exclamation and a question mark. Why? Don't we want to see our Savior soon? Don't we know that as Christians, when we leave this earth, we get to be in heaven forever? And what joy is that? We need to ponder how infinite God is and how finite our minds are, so we cannot comprehend the infinite joys that are waiting for us. We've got to think about that. And that's what he's saying. My God is my salvation. David was talking about God's going to rescue him from his enemies, from Saul and everybody else. But really, as we extrapolate that word salvation into today, that word salvation really means for us, God is our salvation. He's going to take us from this world into the next world. He's going to save us from our sins. He's going to save us from hell. He's going to bring us all into heaven who trust in him as a Lord and Savior. But let's go even closer into that passage of Scripture. It says, God alone is my salvation. Notice we can't say God and I and God are my salvation. We can't say that. No, it's all of God and none of us. So point number one, in the most absolute sense, you and I, in your homes, us here at church today, we need to trust in God and nothing else for our protection. Point number two, though, in this passage of Scripture, as we continue on in this particular stanza, it says the enemies of righteousness play dirty. The enemies of righteousness play dirty. They don't believe in God's rules. They don't believe in fairness, or they don't believe in the Ten Commandments. They don't believe in any of that. So if they see an opening to take power, they're going to take it, no matter how dirty, quote, it is. He says right here in this passage of Scripture, how long? It's either David asking this question, or it may be his enemies saying this. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? You intend to push that fence over, and as far as my kingship is concerned, you might see a weakness. Maybe it's Absalom. And David's running out of Jerusalem and running off and leaving the security of his kingdom and his home. Maybe taking advantage of a weakness at that moment in time. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? These enemies of mine, they only plan to thrust me down, David would be saying, from my high position. They want me to fail. They take pleasure in falsehood. They've been saying rumors about me and lying about me to get people to hate me. They bless me with their mouths, flattery, but inwardly they are cursing me because they want me to fail. And then this word Selah, just think about that for a while. You know, David's enemies wouldn't be attacking him and hoping that he would fail if they felt that he was invincible. They saw weakness because they knew he had his faults. So if you're thinking like an enemy of David, here's how they're thinking. The enemies of David are thinking, this guy trusts in God. What a dumb thing to do. He trusts in God. He depends on God rather than on making deals with people or making packages, sweet deals with the elite so they can have an office in his kingdom. No, he's just trusting in God and God alone. How stupid. How foolish. He believes that God is in control. And so we think that he has got a weakness there. We're going to come in because God's not going to save him when we stick the knife in his back. So they truly believe that David was a teetering wall that they could easily push over. They used deceit. They used deceit to gain his trust. At the very same time, they stabbed him in the back. Doesn't that sound like Satan? Satan, our adversary, is a deceiver and a liar. Jesus pegged him. He said, you are a deceiver. You know, I often read these passages in the book of Psalms, and I bet you do too, and you apply them to our current day and our current situation in our country today, and immediately I go to our current president and say, wow, does that sound like what David was going through back then? Sounds exactly what our current president is going through today. How many enemies he has against him? How many people are opposed to him? How many people out there in the media or wherever or in an opposing party or a power people want him down? They want him crushed. They want him out. And, you know, I think of the president of China, President Xi, I believe is how it's pronounced, or Xi, and they try to pretend that they're this gentle, giant panda. Pandas are cute. No, there's nothing cute about that panda. This panda in China is violent and he's vicious. So here's President Trump. As I look at this passage of Scripture, I make that application frequently. I hope he reads these passages. I hope he trusts in God and in God alone. So David is saying, in case you forgot, let me repeat it for you again. And so the next stanza says this, for God alone, there's the word again, alone, alone, only. For God alone, oh my soul, wait in silence. Just calm down, just relax. For my hope is from him. In other words, the hope that I have, the calmness of my soul comes from God above. He's putting it inside of my heart. He only is my rock and my salvation. He only is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Circle, if you have your paper Bible, the word my. Notice the word my. Repeat it again and again. My rock, my salvation, my God, my glory. And what does it say? It says that David has this personal relationship. He owns God. God owns him. He owns God. They are connected together. He's not describing God like many of the Israelites would, our Father in heaven together, all of us. No, he's saying my, personal. We connect. We relate. We talk. We communicate. He answers my prayer. He leads and he reassures. So it's my God. Point number three in this passage of Scripture as we continue on is this, our peace that God gives us needs to be shared. Can't keep it. It's got to be shared. We got to let people know we're content. We're not frightened. We're not worried. We're calm about the crisis that we're facing because look what David says. He's preaching to the people, probably to his army that's with him or his stragglers that are with him as he abandoned Jerusalem as off through the Kidron Valley and off towards Jericho. He probably is saying to them, trust in God at all times, O my people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge, not for me only, but for us. Trust him. Trust him. So David is preaching that he needs to share his peace with others. David's not the only one threatened. This is the story of Absalom rebelling against his dad and trying to take the throne. Can you imagine everybody else in the kingdom? Well, what if he succeeds? What if Absalom, that wicked young boy who was never disciplined properly, what if he becomes king of this country? We are in trouble. If David is killed, if David is overthrown, what's going to happen to the rest of this nation? The blessing of God is not going to lay upon us anymore. We are in trouble. We are in deep, deep trouble. That's what they'd be thinking. And so David says, no, wait a minute. Trust in God. God's a refuge for you as well. So as we apply this to our day and age, to our situations, to our neighborhoods, to our businesses, to our friends, everywhere we go, in this time of uncertainty in our lives, we Christians, as believers, have a marvelous opportunity, an amazing opportunity to show our non-Christian friends wherever they are, at the store or the gas station, our neighbors. Had a chance to talk to my neighbor yesterday and calmed his heart. Of course, his heart was already pretty much calm already. But we have an opportunity, a great and amazing opportunity to let people see the peace inside. Let them ask, how can you take this so casually? You say, I'm not taking it casually. You say, I'm trusting in God. God is going to see us through. It can only be found in one place and one place only, and that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so if you're on Facebook, great place to share your faith. Just testify. I'm not worried. Say, hey, y'all, you're worried about what's going to be happening? Don't worry about it. My trust is in God and in God alone. Point number four in this passage of Scripture as we go through Psalm 62 is this. Substitutes for God's protection are absolutely worthless. You're not going to trust in God, you're going to trust in something else. David says, good luck with that. They're going to get you out of a jam, right? No, they're not. So he says, take a look. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. What does he mean by all that? Well, you can imagine what he's trying to say. He's working against some evil people. Evil people are trying to overthrow him, so maybe he can go find some evil people too. Maybe he can go find some thugs who are going to go and assassinate his young son or whatever it is. And so he says, though of low estate, you might just put the word thug in there. That's what that means. Those thugs, they're not going to accomplish what God wants. They're going to accomplish his will for your life. They're just like wind. They're just like a breath. There's no value in them. But what about not thugs, but those of high estate? What about those people who have power and influence? Maybe you can start pulling them in and getting them out of your bind and helping them figure this out for you. And he says, no, they're delusion. They're only in it for themselves. In the balances, what kind of balances? Balance, scale balance, a weight balance. In the balances, they go up because there's nothing on the other side and they're lighter than air. So they have no value to you whatsoever. Put no trust in extortion. Don't lower yourself to that. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, don't think that that's going to be your salvation. All of those substitutes are worthless. Are worthless. Sometimes we are tempted to trust in evil schemes in our lives. Take shortcuts. We know how to do that. But David warns us, don't trust in any of those shortcuts to protect you, your family, your nest eggs, whatever. Patty and I had some investments in a brokerage firm, and it was monitored by all the regulatory agencies, but nevertheless, the guy deceived them all and took all his clients, not just ours, all his clients' money, and put it into his account and lost it all. And that's what he's trying to do, trying to get out of a bind, depending on riches, depending on stealing, depending on robbery, to get himself. And if we had put our trust in all of that, we'd be forever depressed because there it goes, just like the wind. It's gone. What a joke. So in our current situation, riches can't protect us. Millions of dollars in savings account, they're not going to buy a cure. And they're not going to protect us from whatever God has allowed us to experience in this earth. So once God has spoken, that's what it says, once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, David said, that power belongs to God. Omnipotent power, not man. God is in control of all things, including invisible viruses that go around and infect people. God is in control of that. And that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. God cares for his sheep. He cares for you. He cares for me. Those two important points are huge. Can God, in his love, take care of you if he doesn't have the power? No, he can't take care of you. If he has all the power but he doesn't love you, he wouldn't care. But together, his love for you and his power to make his will happen in your life, oh, rest your soul in that beautiful, beautiful principle. He says, for you will render to a man according to his work. You are faithful to your children. Those believers who do what you are asking them to do, you will take care of them. I have a final phrase I want us to remember. All of us, even you at home, as we talk about these things, I've been using a phrase, and I want to correct my phrase. My phrase has been, we are going to get through this. I've been using that phrase a lot. To my neighbor yesterday, you know, we're going to get through this. We are going to get through this. I think that needs to be changed. Say instead, God is going to get us through this. God is going to get us through this. If we put our trust in him, relax, rest, make your soul silent. Jim, would you come and close our time in prayer today and bless those people who are watching online and help them all to rest in God's amazing grace.